Harrison, what's going on, man? Those tuned in, appreciate you all. We are SEC Unfiltered here every single day on the Texas Sports Unfiltered platform. 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 4 Central, 2 to 3 for the fine folks over in El Paso, Texas. Make sure you remember them. Again, guys, appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you leave us your questions, your comments, everything in the chat, whether you're on YouTube, you're on Facebook, you're on X. We appreciate each and every single one of you tuning in. Again, guys, I'm Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered. And joined by Harrison Fant. Harrison, the first time you and I have collabed here on the TS Unfiltered airwaves. What's going on, man? Yes, happy sir. Friday.
Happy Friday. It's not much to complain. You know, down at the beach right now at our condo. So getting in, catching some getting some sun for sure, trying to catch some fish. No luck today, though, but hard to complain when you're at the beach, you know.
What are y'all fishing for? I'm curious.
Fishing for some pompano, trying to get some pompano run, some amberjack runs as well. Red drum is what I've been more successful with in the past, but it's pretty rough out there right now. Real windy, some red flags most of the week, so it's been tough, but.
So, Harrison, I'm curious, before we get everything in, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff happening today. What was your immediate reaction when you woke up this morning and saw the Scottie Scheffler stuff? Because I tell you, like, I thought the first post I saw was from Barstool Sports, and they posted a video, like a meme kind of thing, golf fans heading to the Louisville County or something, jail or whatever, and it was like, I'm going to get you out, I'm going to free you. I'm like, okay, what happened? And then I went a little bit further down the timeline and saw it. Like, dude, that I thought it was fake at first. I really did.
That's fair. I mean, I woke up to a text from a buddy who said, yo, our boy Jeff Darlington just broke the news on Scottie Scheffler. And I was like, what is he talking about? And I look at my phone and I see an old coworker of mine, Rainey Scott, tweeting about the 7 a.m. Sports Center, how we have more details on everything. And I look into it and what was posted and watched the Morning Sports Center, and just I'm like, wow. Like, I'm like, this is crazy. And like, this has to be a misunderstanding. Like, there's no way. Like, he's one of the best guys around, nicest guys on tour. Faith driven, faith built, and it's just unexpected for sure.
Yeah, sticky situation. Then he goes out there and shoots. I don't know exactly what the score was, but
I think 500. Yeah, I mean, 500, you know, yeah. Scotty, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's the mental toughness is got to be pretty wild to go do that for sure. Again, man, a lot to get into. We got baseball games taking place right now. If you guys did not realize from the conversation last week, Harrison obviously was on here a week ago. Harrison, huge college baseball guy, of course, talks football, basketball, that good stuff. But you probably see Harrison and I a good bit. If you have not, every single week we're live on the Windup. We talk all things college baseball, SEC baseball primarily, obviously. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff when it comes to, heck, I mean, the SEC tournament next week, the postseason as a whole. So, again, on SEC Unfiltered, we're not just football, although a lot of it is football. We talk college baseball, we talk college basketball, everything in between. And certainly, again, Harrison and I have been really, content has been bleeding out the eyeballs when it comes to college baseball, because what a college baseball season it has been. So on
incredible.
Yeah. On that note, I'm going to jump around here. I know we got our notes here, so I'm going to jump around though. The Christian Moore argument, let me get into that with you, because this was one that came up late last night. All these series, by the way, are Thursday through Saturday this weekend in the SEC. And the Golden Spikes Award is one. There is a lot of debate. There's a lot of back and forth, and it's a lot of fun. I saw the screenshot from last night where it was Charlie Condon and Jack Caglione both standing at first base, which was really, really cool, because, I mean, those are two generational type of talents we're seeing in college baseball. Wes Rucker, though, of 24/7 Sports, covers the Tennessee Volunteers. He posted this, and of course it was after a game last night in which Christian Moore hit two bombs against South Carolina, and he's been fantastic. He posted these stats, and I think it provides great context, because when we're thinking SEC Player of the Year, we're thinking Golden Spikes. You know, we've talked Charlie Condon, we've talked Jack Caglione, we've talked Hagan Smith, but that's kind of where it stopped. And you look at the numbers, Christian Moore and what he's done in SEC play specifically. This is kind of what I was talking about here, somewhere it almost feels like Tennessee's flying under the radar a little bit, and they're doing what they're doing. It doesn't feel quite as loud, just because I think maybe it was more so expected. I don't think Georgia, they've been like a huge surprise, and also Florida's been a huge surprise, one positive, one negative. Tennessee's just kind of been what I thought they would be, to be honest with you. But either way, Charlie Condon hitting 413, 18 homers, 38 RBI. This is SEC play only. 413, 18 homers, 38 RBI. Insane. Jack Caglione, 369, 14 homers, 25 RBI, elite. Then there's Christian Moore, who's hitting 424 with 19 homers and 40 RBIs. So Christian Moore, better than Condon and Cags in average homers and RBIs. Why are we not talking about Christian Moore more so as a real candidate to win SEC Player of the Year and the Golden Spikes?
Yeah, Chris, it's a fantastic question. Something that I've even mentioned a couple weeks ago, just how Tennessee has the best 1-2 punch in the SEC and lead off in two hole, and let alone the SEC, the nation probably. And I've been trying to hype it up a little bit more, get talked about. I mean, the power he has, the speed he has, I've compared him to kind of a Byron Buxton, Ronald Acuna-esque player, and just kind of the electricity that he brings in the leadoff role. And it's straight at the gates. He's putting pressure on you in every single facet. He's super athletic, super agile, and just fantastic, mature hitter in the box. And he's really proven that this year. And he's done it in a quiet way outside of Knoxville, I think, just because he's not, you know, nationally getting the publicity that Jack Caglione or Charlie Condon's getting, but he's doing it week in, week out. And it's just, it's incredible to watch. And it's just, it's so much fun to watch him play and play at a successful high level.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. And listen, I think when you look at the entire body of works as well, we're not factoring in. It's not just an SEC Play Award. Charlie Condon, also, you look at the on-base percentage, how much he's been walked has been absolutely crazy. So there's more to it than that, but it was a really, really fun it was a fun conversation last night on social media. And, of course, Georgia fans chimed in. Charlie Condon broke the home run record. I mean, that right there alone is something that makes you stand out. And it is wild to see, you know, how Christian Moore, how good he's been, how little he's been talked about. It's just, you know, it's kind of weird how little Christian Moore has been talked about. It's going to be fun to see what he does the rest of the weekend, of course, into the postseason. But he's been one of the leaders on that Tennessee offense all season long. And I mean, again, to do it in conference play, is incredible. You mentioned Golden Spikes odds. You got odds to make it to Omaha as well. I love Harrison. You always bring the notes and bring the context we need. Where do we have that pulled up, where Christian Moore sits when it comes to Golden Spikes odds?
So I couldn't find actually like live odds for it. Yeah, I obviously there's preseason odds and everything with that, but he wasn't even in the top 15. I don't even know if they had odds for him at the beginning of the season. I mean, it's college baseball is a little bit different in betting, and it's how it's a lot more niche and smaller. So it's not like, you know, the NFL, like week one lines already set now that the game's been released, but he wasn't really even a thought to win Golden Spikes or any. I mean, it was crazy. It's unbelievable, but he's absolutely in that discussion now, no matter who you are, a fan of what team, he should be for sure.
So I know that I asked you this on Monday, but I'll do it again. Cags or Condon, who if you had a vote, who would your vote be for?
If I had a vote, which maybe one day I will.
Because it's got to be one of those two guys, right? I mean, listen, Christian Moore's had a great year, but I really do feel like it's going to be either Caglione or Condon. I just, you know, and I'm not a voter, obviously, but it just, that's what it feels like, at least.
Yeah, if I had a vote, my vote is different is where I think what I vote, but also who I think is going to win based off other kind of factors. Mm-hmm. My vote would be Jack Caglione still, just because he's doing it on both sides every single week in the SEC. He's hitting every single all weekend, starting on Sunday. I think they've only lost two games in which he started. And that takes nothing away from Charlie Condon. He's had a phenomenal wheel year, but to do that in the SEC in the entire season, pitching and hitting, is just, it's unbelievable. It's Shohei Ohtani-esque. And it's something you don't really ever see about every once in 10 years, maybe. And it's just unbelievable. But I do think that Charlie Condon will win it based off kind of the season he's having, how it kind of happened in the story, as well as how good Georgia's been. I think that's a huge factor. And it's not just the player, but it's the player and the team combined and the success as a whole. So that's what I think is going to kind of happen and why.
I was going to say, Harrison, how fairly or unfairly, it does feel like a lot of the luster of Jack Caglione has wore off because Florida sucks, or they're just not very good. I mean, that's, you know, maybe that's too harsh, but they're not very good. That's, you know, and they're playing right now, actually, Georgia and Florida. Georgia, of course, wins big in game one. I think that the second game going on right now, I'm pretty sure
they're in top 10 right now, tied at four.
Okay, they're in extra innings, and Florida is desperate.
Florida's up 7-4 right now in top 10. They just put up three runs.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that's obviously a series where Florida needs to win at least one. Just, I mean, they're fighting for their postseason lives at this point. But it does feel like Jack Caglione, fairly or unfairly, is being somewhat punished because Florida is not very good. And I mean, it's an individual award, like Golden Spikes is. But I mean, dude, anytime you win an award like that, whether it's the Golden Spikes, it's the Heisman, like it just, you know, you need some momentum on your side. You need some good fortune, which I could say the good fortune is your team doing well or a good marketing campaign, or you need like a highlight play in the biggest moment. You know what I mean? It's like, it just, it doesn't help when your team's been as bad as Florida's has. I just, that's the unfortunate part. So, and then again, yeah. Charlie Condon with Georgia, Georgia's been this huge surprise and Condon's been a massive part of it. It just, it's like the story lines up better, which shouldn't matter, but it does.
Yeah, for sure. And it's something that I think people subconsciously or consciously take into consideration either way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my vote would be Charlie Condon. I think he is going to win. You know, I do have a lot of respect for the Cags argument because, again, he's doing it both ways. Like the, like what he's – like you just – you cannot take it for granted what he's doing. Who, by the way, Harrison, who won the gold? Was it Paul Skeens? No, was it Cruz that won the Spikes?
Cruz won the Golden Spikes, but Paul Skeens won the Player of the Year award. It was a little – so basically they kind of split it in such a way. So
could you not make an argument that Hagan Smith should win it?
I think you can. For sure.
He's having a better year than Skeens had last year, which is scary to think about.
He's got more walks, though. A lot more walks. If you look at the stats, he's got a lot more walks. So.
But he's got – I think I heard the stat. He's in SEC play, and this was Chris Burke that told us this. In SEC play, his ERA is one whole run better than Paul Skeens was. That's how good he's been.
Well, coming in this week, and I believe his ERA is – I don't I mean, it's unbelievable. His opponent batting average is under 150. So, I mean
Paul Skeens is obviously electric. I saw today he started for the Pirates and he struck out his first six batters. He might have continued that. I don't know what happened after, but
wouldn't surprise me for a slightest.
Skeens is insane, but Hagan Smith has been, I mean, he's been
electric. Every start's double digit strikeouts, and it's
every
it's
single one
almost like a lock for game one for them.
Yeah. So, which we say that, and Arkansas lost last night to Texas A&M. An unbelievable game. So, yeah, I mean, just crazy. It's, you know, the talent in college baseball obviously has never been better. And as we talk, you know, again, of course, postseason play getting underway, the conference tournaments and stuff next week. By the way, here's a trivia question for you, Harrison. There is one conference whose conference tournament is this week. It's been taking place. Do you know which conference it is?
Do I know which
conference? And there's only one conference, dude. I think all the other conferences are next week. There's one conference that's this week. And I only know this because I went to NCAA's website and had all the tournaments listed. And this one, I was like, interesting. It starts.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not a Power Five, that's for sure.
No.
It's going to be a group of five team. Let me do the elimination process. It's probably East Coast. I want to say like Big East. Let's say Big East.
That is not a bad guess. It is the Patriot League. Yeah.
I knew it was 11, probably Northeast.
May 11th through 21st in West Point, New York. So, okay. Yeah.
There's worse places to play.
The Patriot League. They have began postseason
Good
play.
For them.
Everybody else next. Let's see. I've got it pulled up here because I had to reconfirm. I was like, let me make sure I get this. We are at a point now where, let's see. Okay, that was Saturday, May 11th. Here we go. Okay. Today is Friday, May 7th. Where are we at here?
17th.
Oh. Yeah, anyways, their schedules, this website's not very good.
While we're kind of on it still, the end of the Arkansas A&M game last night, I don't know how much of it you watched. I mean, come on, right? I mean, 11th inning, the only run of the game is a walk.
Yeah, that pitching
RBI
was
walk.
I tell you though, man, I'm a little nervous for Arkansas. I would be nervous if I were an Arkansas fan. I would because
hitting on the road.
It's an, well, I was just like, not because of last night's game, but like it's just an unnerving feeling to know that at any point my hitting could just disappear. We could just go like when Arkansas, it seems like when they go cold swinging it, they go ice cold. And my game two and three guys haven't been pitching all that well. Like, you got the best pitcher in the game. You got the best pitcher in college baseball. But I mean, like last night shows, like if the other guy's got an ace too, like we can lose 1-0. Like that's kind of a scary thought.
I mean, South Ghana should have beaten Arkansas at home.
Yeah.
In Founders Park. I mean, against Hagan Smith.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, current odds to make it to Omaha are out. Tennessee, Arkansas, A&M all have minus odds. So they're the favorites. Kentucky at plus 115, UNC plus 200, Mississippi State plus 275. Also odds to win the whole damn thing, A&M plus 425. So A&M's the favorite to win it all right now, at least from the SEC. I think this is the overall favorite, right? Plus 425. Yep. Arkansas plus 500, Tennessee plus 650, Clemson plus 1,000, Wake Forest plus 1,200. Any of those you like, Haberson, whether it be, you know, favorites to make it to Omaha? Do you like any of those to win the whole thing right now? Which of the ones that stand out to you?
Yeah, Chris, my thing is I think it's too tough and too many things have to happen right to predict who's going to win it all in Omaha. So I want to lean more towards who makes it to Omaha. I think it's a lot safer bet. Anything in Omaha can happen. We've seen it year after year after year. I mean, it's a special place where special players make special plays. So, but if I'm going to go with kind of more of a favorite, I think I would definitely want to lean A&M for sure. Just the consistency they had. Yes, they slipped up at LSU at the box. No matter how good or bad LSU is, tough place to play. Minus 134. So I think you're getting some really good value there. But to go more of a long shot, of the three kind of that sparked my interest and eye of Kentucky plus 115, the seventh best odds on the board, according to Bet Rivers, UNC plus 200, 15th best odds, Mississippi State plus 275, the 17th best odds. Any of those I think are going to give you really good value, but I think Kentucky's the best value there. You're getting plus money for a team that's playing very, very well, played incredible all year at home, on the road. They're going to host a regional. They're going to probably host a super – they would host a super regional, assuming they make it. And then, they just show it every single week on every aspect of the game, pitching, hitting, defense. They steal the most bases in SEC. And so I think just the most consistency throughout the year is what puts me over the edge for why Kentucky, I think, is the best kind of longer shot to make it to Omaha.
I think those Kentucky plus odds, I think a lot of that is because the Cats have never been to Omaha. I think there's some maybe –
they were close last year.
They were, but I think that like that's what gives you plus odds, and there might be some people there for whatever reason. I think there's still some people out there crazy enough that are saying that, well, I don't know if Kentucky's, they've had a nice regular season, but are they really that team? And it's you're just really foolish if you're doubting Kentucky by now. But I think that's why the plus, because they've just never made it to Omaha. I think Mississippi State plus. Yeah, I mean, I think Mississippi State plus 275 is very interesting. I mean, listen, I'm shooting for value here. So I don't know that I would take any of the minuses to get to Omaha, but Tennessee plus 650 to win it all, I might throw some coin on that. Bro, Wake Forest plus 1,200 is really interesting because they have really surged of late. I'm kind of surprised their odds are that
series went over Clemson.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised their odds are that much of a long shot. Clemson plus 1,000. I don't think they've got the pitching. I think
especially after Wake Forest series. I think at some point their
pitching's got too many holes in it. I mean, they're very good. They're very good, but what, you know, I wonder. I don't know if they had it on there or not, Harrison. Does Florida have odds to make it to Omaha? Because that would be
Florida have odds.
That would be the kind of long shot though. That I'm just saying, like they got to make the postseason first. Listen, I get that, but I'm just saying. I mean, we said it was either going to be LSU or Florida make a run, and I mean, maybe LSU.
You're not going to like it when I say what it is, Chris.
What is it?
According to Bet Rivers, odds to make it to Omaha for Florida plus 175.
That's insane. See, that's insane. It's because they know people like me are like, you know,
if I could fade that, I might.
trying to find a steal. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen to this. Vanderbilt's plus 130, according to Bet Rivers right now.
Dude, I've been so out on Vandy for so long. I sold the rest
of my stock the other week for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not. Vandy's been so inconsistent.
Keeping so the SEC, inconsistent. Though, Georgia's plus 200, Bama's plus 250.
Wow, Bama's plus 250. Okay. And Georgia's plus Georgia 200,
plus,
you say?
Plus 200. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all, really, truly. I think
with college, it's a lot of names, you know, in recent history.
Oh, for sure. Well, again, that's why Kentucky has plus odds. That's why Kentucky has plus odds. You mentioned this, Florida up on Georgia, 7-4 going to the bottom of the 10th. I would assume they're playing a doubleheader today. Maybe not. Maybe not.
No, they put tomorrow at 2:00.
They just started so early today. I think probably trying to beat rain, but looks like Florida might even that series in half. That would be massive if they won that series. But way Georgia's playing of late, I'd be kind of surprised if. They didn't find a way to win that series. LSU beats Ole Miss, by the way, we don't have a nickname for our scoreboard, but on the SEC Unfiltered scoreboard here on Texas Sports Unfiltered, LSU beats Ole Miss 4-2. LSU clinching a series. They're going to go for the sweep tomorrow. That puts them at 12 SEC wins. They can win tomorrow, 13 SEC wins. You can get to 13 SEC wins, Harrison, and maybe you win a game in Hoover. LSU, there's a chance. There's a chance. And, I mean, here's the thing, though. When you're the defending national champs, you have the RPI they have. You get the 13 SEC wins. If you win tomorrow, I feel like you'll be one of those last teams in, man. It's, again, like you mentioned, it's name recognition, right? So are we going to put a 13-17 LSU team in, or are we going to put some other conference lower
level defending champion LSU team?
So I'm not right, wrong, or indifferent. Like, there's a reason for the bias. Like, I mean, LSU would go to another conference and win. I think somebody told me Jay Johnson said that if we were in another conference, we would be winning it. Like, if we were in any other conference, we'd be winning that conference. That's how hard the SEC is. It's like
outside the ACC, I'd say for sure.
Right. Because the ACC is pretty
damn good. ACC is really talented, really stacked. But that 13 win mark, like you said, in the SEC, 10 out of 26 teams with 13 wins have made it since 1999. Mm-hmm. That's 38%. 12 wins, 3 out of 17 have made it. That's 18%.
Basically, you have to get to 13 to have a shot. Minimum. Like 12 is.
It's... 14, though, 70%, 16 of 23.
Yeah,
I've made it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I've told people that, you know, this is kind of a side conversation, but I mentioned after the game last night that, I mean, South Carolina could very well screw around and play themselves out of the postseason. I mean, really, truly. I'll ask you this, Harrison. Let's say South Carolina gets swept this weekend, which they very well could. I mean, it's very well could happen. Let's say they get swept, LSU wins tomorrow. Both teams finish with 13 wins. Who, if you had to pick one, who would you pick to get in?
Both finish with 13 wins?
Both LSU and South Carolina finish 13-17 in the league.
This is after the conference tournament, correct?
Well, I mean, I guess we could say they both go 1-done in the tournament. I mean, that's to make things really even level playing field.
Okay.
This is a tough. I'm glad there's other people that make these decisions, because that's very difficult. And obviously, we would need more, like their RPI, strength of schedule, whatever. But
I was about to give you that. So RPI, South Carolina's ahead of LSU. I know that they're 22nd RPI in the country right now. LSU is 33. But also for South Carolina, the strength of schedule is a lot better. It's 9th overall, and LSU is 21st overall in strength of schedule. So, but another thing to factor in, which I think is really important in the committee. Leans on heavily is quad one wins. So for South Carolina, their quad one record is 9-16. Not bad, but not great. LSU is 6-11. So okay. I definitely have to say South Carolina. Hmm. But I'm not the committee. And you never know what the committee's going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, I can't wait. Obviously, again, we're going to be covering it. Harrison, you're going to be there to talk SEC baseball in Hoover, Alabama, the SEC tournament. For those Texas fans that are tuned in, I mean, it's a blast. You have not experienced life as a college baseball fan until you are experiencing rain delays and watching games that are inexplicable.
10 a.m. starts, 11 p.m. finishes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You haven't lived until you're experiencing 1 a.m. baseball in Hoover, Alabama. So you'll get to experience that next year. But speaking of that, Harrison, let's talk again. You're a huge baseball guy. You love SEC baseball, follow SEC baseball, cover SEC baseball, as do I. But Texas baseball. First thing I'll ask you is this: like, what is your when I say Texas baseball, like, what do you think of? I know you're a little bit younger than me. You're probably a little bit younger than some of the others that are tuned in. Do you revere Texas baseball in the same way? Where, like, I think of Texas baseball as truly one of, like, the programs in college baseball. Like, it's one of, like, at least right, wrong, or indifferent. I just, growing up, I always thought of Texas as a blue blood, Augie Garrido. Like, you know, I just thought of Texas Legend. And Omaha. They kind of go together. Like, Texas is supposed to be there. They're one of those programs that's supposed to be there year in, year out. What is your, when I say Texas baseball, what comes to mind for you?
When you think Texas baseball, I think Omaha for sure. I mean, they have the third most national championships of any program in NCAA baseball history at 6. They're behind LSU, who has 7 after last year's win, and then Southern California's total of 12 national championships. But for me, it's more so, it was before kind of my time of really watching, but just looking back and watching a lot of the history, early 2000s Texas in Omaha. I mean, they won 2 in the span of 4 years. They won in 2002 and then 2005, and they're in Omaha, it feels like, almost every year in those early 2000s, kind of mid-2000s as well. And you think of just program prestige, for sure. And I think that's where Texas fans feel like they should be year after year. And it's hard to do it year after year, for sure. Just the turnover of talent, you know, coaches moving around as well. But I think that's going to be the expectation for Texas fans coming in. And I think that's something that SEC fans are going to have to look out for sure, and keep an eye on, because that's what Texas's standard is. National championships, Omaha.
And that's exactly what the standard is going to be coming into the SEC. I think Texas, by the way, this is a fun conversation because they are red freaking hot of late. I think they've won 11 of their last 12 or something like that. Big walk-off win against Kansas last night. So the Horns and Oklahoma, who's been phenomenal. They're 23-6 in Big 12 play. Already secured the Big 12 title. I mean, that, you think about that conference record, Harrison, 23-6. That's nuts. That's nuts when you think about it. So adding both the league is going to be awesome.
And they took 2 of 3 at Oklahoma. I mean, they took 2 of 3 against Oklahoma State. I mean, it's great. They're heating up
at the right time. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And again, like I've told you this before, as someone who placed a futures bet on Texas before the season to win the national title, I think it was $25 to pay out like $700. I would love to see Texas going to run all the way to the national championship. For Texas baseball fans, and I know, you know, some Texas folks in Oklahoma, they get tired of hearing about the rigors and the challenges of the SEC and buckle up, right? Like, are you ready for the grind? But, like, give people your take on, like, the, if you had to describe the weekend in, weekend out grind of SEC baseball and of SEC play. Like, is there, can you put it into words how difficult it is weekend in, weekend out, and how good you have to be to stand amongst the top of the league? Because it's one thing, again, to go 18-12 or 19-11 or 20-10 in Big 12 play. I'm not even trying to hate, because the Big 12's got some really good teams, but the SEC's different. It's just built completely differently.
Yeah, Chris, it absolutely is. And I think the way to sum it up in as best way as I could think of is the SEC regular season, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it is a grind week after week. And then you're playing these other midweek teams that are non-SEC teams, right? Like, especially in the state of Florida, there's a lot of mid-major programs in Florida that have fantastic talent, right? Kids that maybe weren't recruited by Florida State, Miami, that are going to these schools and proving that they should have been, maybe. And they're pitching their best guys in those midweek games against these powerhouse programs, trying to prove them wrong, pull off a big win, help their strength of schedule, their RPI. And so it's not just, it's the whole season, the whole week, it's the midweek, it's the weekend series on the road. Playing on the road in the SEC is one of the hardest things to do. I think the hardest conference playing on the road in college baseball. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's a lot about staying healthy, consistency, and building that team culture, that chemistry, and having the right coaches and everyone around you to do so.
Harrison, a Texas fan, hypothetically asks you, what are the best environments, the most intimidating atmospheres in a SEC baseball that we should be out on the lookout for? What would you tell them?
Yeah, top three right off the bat. Number three is it's got to be Baum Walker Stadium in Arkansas. I think it feels massive from everyone I've heard that's been. I still have need to go for sure. It's an incredible environment. It's a very tradition-rich program as well, and just the culture there is baseball. Arkansas, you think baseball, I think. And then number two for me has got to be Alex Box Stadium. Haven't been, but just from everything I've seen and heard and read about and just the games I've watched on there, it's unbelievable atmosphere, another tradition, culture. Fans in Baton Rouge bleed purple and gold baseball. It's unbelievable. And the number one, I think, by a hair over the box, is Duty Noble Field in Mississippi State, which I've been to. I've experienced it firsthand. An SEC weekend, it is unlike any other in the country by far. And it's just, no matter how good or bad Mississippi State is, who they're playing, it could be a midweek, and it's just crazy rowdy. The fans are into every single pitch. They're grilling in the outfield. Just there's literally big green eggs and Traegers right beyond the center field, right field wall, left field wall. It's unbelievable. They pack it out every game, and it's an experience unlike any other in college baseball.
So many great atmospheres. And again, they'll experience Swayze. They'll experience, obviously, Bluebell, which they've already experienced. This is kind of
what are your favorites?
Well, I was going to ask you this question first, because this kind of brings me to this, because I'm just thinking to myself, I have not been to a game at Alex Box. I've walked around Alex Box. My question for you is this. Do you think Founders Park isn't higher rated because the program's not very good? Because, like, in regards to niceness of stadium, I would argue Founders Park's one of the best. Like the concourse
at
Founders
absolutely.
Park.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely.
The concourse at Founders Park, to me, like, again, I mean, I went to Foley Field. And Foley Field's, they're going to be at the bottom of most every list you see. But, like, going to a stadium like that, like, you realize, like, damn, that concourse is awesome. Like, it's so nice to have a concourse all the way around the stadium. So, like, quality of stadium, I think Founders Park is one of the nicest, but
I think it's one of the nicest.
Yeah. Do you think the biggest thing that holds it back is like overall environment and like because the program's not very good or because it does seem, and you and I have experienced this firsthand, there is a culture at South Carolina where they don't promote a rowdy college atmosphere. Let's just call it for what it is, right? Like, I mean, you and I have both seen that firsthand, experienced it where they will. You know, they will do what they can, it seems like, to kind of put a damper down in the atmosphere. They want it to be more like a minor league baseball, like a pro game atmosphere. And you go to an Alex Box, so where Alex Box may not be as nice from a structural standpoint, it is still very nice, but it's more of like, it's an intimidating place to play. It's not just a nice ballpark. Am I, like, do you agree with that? Because, like, I think of Founders, and I'm like, it's surprising it's not higher because the facility is so nice, but I think what it's really missing is like real character, like real college baseball character.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, it's one of the nicest programs facility-wise in the SEC in the country. It's a $35 million facility. When they built it, it seats just over 8,000, I mean, which isn't the top of the SEC. And you got Duty Noble, it's, I think, 15,000. Alex Box, maybe almost 11,000. I know Baum Walker is 11 or 12,000, I believe. But it's one of the nicest. I just don't think it's like that kind of culture embedded in rich programs week in, week out, year in, year out that an LSU, a Duty Noble, you know, at the Box, Baum Walker, that they have. And just, I don't think it's that die hard, pack it out every single weekend kind of environment. It's like you said, a lot more minor league, family friendly, a great environment to watch a game, but it's just not, it's not super hostile.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to play in for sure. Very tough place to play in, but it's not like a hostile, you know, like the comparison of college football. It's not like you're playing in Death Valley. You know, it's not like you can't hear, you know, they're yelling the whole time. Fans are in every single pitch, but there's a lot of students that go to the game and have a lot of fun and try to fill it up. But we wish it was more hostile and more just kind of like a fan experience that was unlike any other.
And I will say this too. I mean, Harrison, I agree with you. Like, even when the team is good, I don't view it as like a real, I don't know if nasty environment's the right way to put it, but like a place you would fear going. I mean, it's tough to play there, but I don't know that it's a place you really fear going. I would say though,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's. I think recently the reason it's further down the list is because the team's not good, and like college baseball and baseball environments are so, you know, they're so dependent on having a product. Like people aren't like baseball, unfortunately, is just still at a point, and it probably always will be, where it's like it's just going to be really, really hard to draw any sort of crowd if you're not winning. And I mean, if once you have apathy set in your program, you're basically, you can kiss your atmosphere goodbye, you know, and you can't blame the fan base for that. It's just the situation you're in. But the, how I would rank them. Go ahead.
I was just saying, did you ever go to any of the 2010s kind of games at Founders?
So I actually was at a game in 2010. It was South Carolina Ole Miss, Blake Cooper against Drew Pomeranz. I don't know if you remember that name or those names, but and Drew Pomeranz was an elite lefty for Ole Miss. Pitched for the Rockies for quite a while. I mean, first rounder, very good. I recall that atmosphere being pretty electric, and South Carolina won that game 2-1 on a Friday night. And I mean, it was traditional Friday baseball in the SEC. You know what I mean? So, I mean, again, I think the product has a lot to do with it. I really do. I think if you saw South Carolina get back to being a top 15 team in the country yearly, being back to what Carolina baseball once was, I think that environment would be looked at much differently. I really do.
Yeah.
Either way, though, my top three, you know, I would go 3 Alex Box, 2 Baum Walker, but the dude's number one. I mean, I know Ole Miss folks and Arkansas folks and whoever they love to, and LSU folks too, have this debate, but. And I've never been, but
they're on the bucket list.
The dude's elite, man. The dude's elite.
They did a fantastic job designing it. It's a place people want to be every single weekend watching games. I mean,
like you said,
honest, I don't know how much
it's literally a bucket list
weekends outside of Mississippi State sports. So
it's literally a bucket list place.
It seats 15,000.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I think it's most in the SEC.
I wonder how hard it would be to get a ticket to the regional. I do wonder that. The Starkville regional. I wonder.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it might be a little bit harder at Georgia just because of a lot of Georgia fans wanting to go with them being really good this year and kind of not, you know, being at this level or just kind of peakness of strength and success in recent years. But also, it doesn't hold that many fans, Chris. It really doesn't. I mean, do you know? Take a guess how many it seats.
Do you want Foley Field?
Yeah, take a guess. Take a guess.
How many it's. I think I am pretty going to be pretty close. It's like, I think it's literally like 3,200.
Try 500 less. It's like 2,700.
I knew it was low. That's really low, though.
Yeah, I mean that's 12,000 less. Sorry, 12,000.
I mean, Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, yeah.
Mississippi State probably has 3 or 4 times that many show up for a midweek game. You know what I mean? Like, and that's if it's lightly attended. I mean, you know, they're selling out tons.
Well, so from what I've heard from people at Georgia, they're doing a lot of renovations coming up, I think either next year or the year after, down that left field line where that bullpen is for the visitor's bullpen and that seating there and that kind of extra space you can walk underneath there. I think they're going to make it similar to how Georgia Tech has done it. From what I've seen at Georgia Tech and what I've heard, they're just kind of like a pavilion patio kind of premium seat level, I think, ish thing with some seats underneath leading into the stadium, the side.
Well, and two, I was just thinking, Wes Johnson, you know, the way he's Wes Johnson, the season they've had, and you got a brand new coach, like you got to invest in him, man. And that's facilities. You got to invest in him when it comes to facilities. Sticking with baseball, Harrison, buy or sell? How about stock on SEC baseball teams being realistic Omaha contenders? As we go into the postseason, who are the teams you're buying? Are there any teams you're selling in regards to SEC baseball clubs with Omaha aspirations?
So, Chris, I thought about this more so buying versus selling, and I think I'm more so on the buying side because I don't know if you can really – there's really any value in who to sell at the kind of the top, you know, in the mid – the middle pack of the pack, I think, is more of do you stay away from or do you buy stock in? So for me, it's more of a buy situation. I think you definitely have to buy stock in Georgia and Mississippi State. Just kind of the hot, cold, hot theory and just the way they've been playing. I definitely want to see Charlie Goldstein for Georgia, how he kind of comes back from, I think he has some left side soreness. Wes Johnson said they weren't going to force him into this weekend, but he'll be ready for, you know, they don't want to make any matters worse. So he'll definitely be there for Hoover, but see how that kind of, he responds from that. But the way Mississippi State's been playing and going on the road and beating and should have taken the series, potentially sweeping Arkansas in their home ballpark, in which they've only lost two games coming into that series. They, I mean, Hunter Hines was the story of one of the games, but outside of that, he wasn't the story for the Mississippi State lineup, and they still played fantastic. And just the pitching's been there all year. Cal Stevens, and then you have Gerangelo St. John, the both-handed pitcher, who, if you haven't watched him pitch, you absolutely should watch him pitch. He's just unbelievable. It's so cool and so unique, and you just sit there and think, how can this kid do this on both sides at so one of the highest levels in baseball and be so successful at it? It's unbelievable. And so I think Georgia, Mississippi State, you definitely should buy some more stock in going into the postseason. They're also both going to host. So that's a huge help and huge benefit for both of them.
So I'm actually going to sell the Georgia stock just because of the pitching. I'm nervous when it comes to the pitching staff. I am. So I'm going to sell. Fair. I'm going to sell the Georgia stock. I am going to buy Mississippi State. I'm going to buy all the Tennessee stock I can get my hands on. Like I've loved Tennessee since before the season. I picked them to win the East. Obviously, that's going to be Kentucky's crown. I think something crazy would have to happen for Kentucky to not win it now because they took down Vandy, and I don't think they're going to lose another game. But whatever.
So either way, if they lose the next two, then Tennessee wins the next two, then it'd be a tiebreaker, and Tennessee has a tiebreaker, I believe.
Okay, so they need to
from head to head.
Okay, well, okay, but could happen. It could happen.
But hey, maybe Tennessee doesn't want to be the one seed overall. I mean, the last time the number one overall seed has won it was what year, Chris?
1999, right? Miami?
Miami.
Yeah. Yep. Been a long. Yeah, I mean, good point. Either way, I would buy all of the Tennessee stock. Since, you know what?
I've got a lot in the bank right now.
Hey, I'm going to buy Texas stock. Give me Texas stock, man. Hook them.
Is this purely a preseason investment standpoint, or
this
current?
Is a speaking it into existence standpoint. That's exactly what this is. They are getting hot at the right time, though. They are getting hot at the right time.
Imagine Texas and A&M playing in like a super.
I'll take it this right now, Harrison. I would buy more. I would buy Texas A&M and Tennessee stock before I would buy Arkansas stock.
Yeah,
I'm so nervous for the hitting, bro. I'm just 100% so agree. Nervous. And guess what? I put a future on Arkansas, too. The teams I put futures on to win the College World Series, it was Arkansas, still got a shot. Wake Forest, still got a shot. LSU and Florida, those are dead. And Texas, those were it. I felt confident, Harrison, before the season. I was like, one of these teams is going to win it all. One of them is. Because, like, as much as college baseball's upsets, to me, it like, as much as it's upsets, it's also a lot of chalk to me. I like the best – typically the teams we think are the best, one of them wins, in my opinion. Like, I know baseball's super unpredictable, but, like, I mean, how many times has an SEC team won it all? Like, you know what I mean? This isn't rocket science. You know what I mean? Like, just bet on one of the best SEC teams, and you got a pretty damn good shot to hit the bet. So, you know, I thought maybe LSU or Florida. I really, honestly, man, like, I picked Arkansas to win it all before the season. My second pick probably would have been Florida. Truly, truly. I mean, so,
the last four national champions have been from the SEC. LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, COVID year. Vanderbilt.
And you can always bank on.
And then Arkansas should have won it in 2018 when they dropped the fly ball just over behind first base and lost.
And that's
that
so
game
that's
went
why,
on to lose game three in 2018.
That's why, like, I feel good about Arkansas going the postseason and also feel terrible. Because it's like, I feel good about it because it's like they really are due to at some point get it done. Like, you can't just keep getting there and falling flat. At the same time, that's just all they've done. Like, that's just all they have done. You know, it's interesting, though. I'll ask you this, Harrison. of the teams that are going to sneak in from the SEC, right? So let's say, and I don't know if you, let me pull this up. This is kind of a side note, but the SEC tournament field is set, by the way. We now know who the 12 teams are going to be. We know the 12 teams are going to, we know there's going to be no Mizzou, no Auburn, no big deal. Of the bottom tier, of like the teams that are going to sneak in, right? Let's just say South Carolina. Let's just say LSU and Florida for fun, right? Vandy's going to be down in that group. Maybe Bama. Like, I guess the better question is who that made the SEC tournament's not going to get in.
To the field of 64, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, to the field of 64. Like, I mean, I think most of them are going to make it. Maybe not.
Alabama's definitely in.
Bama's okay. Bama's definitely. Okay.
Top five strength schedule.
So, I mean, they can't all get in, can they? Can all 12 can't get in. Ole Miss, I think, is out. Ole Miss is probably going to be out. They are, because again, they're losing to LSU. They are at the, I think, 11 win mark. They're not going to get to 13 SEC wins. I know that for
a fact. They have the number one strength of schedule in the country.
Ole Miss does?
Yeah.
Well, but dude, even with that, like if you're at 12 SEC wins, that's going to be really tough. Really.
They're 12 and 19 in quad one, too. I mean, their RPI is 25th, and Florida is 32nd, I think. And then we talked about LSU being 33rd RPI-wise.
Well, the reason I'm asking this question, Harrison, is, you know, when we had that conversation with Chris Berg, which if you haven't seen it, check it out, YouTube, podcast, what have you. Chris had a very compelling argument, essentially saying that, like, it is – he wasn't saying it's better to go on the road in the postseason, but he was just saying that, like, comparing the pros and cons of, like, you know, when you're the one seed or you're, like, what Tennessee was a couple years ago, or you're Arkansas and you're hosting, like, there is – a different kind of pressure when you are at home hosting in the postseason versus when you go on the road and kind of have nothing to lose. And so my question to you is, like, do you think there is an SEC team out there that could do what Ole Miss did a couple years ago or be an under the radar 2 or 3 seed in a regional and make a run? You know what I mean? Like, it just – it's fascinating to me. Like, I wonder if any of those teams, those bottom tier teams, can get red hot. They've all got talent, obviously, but do you realistically think any of those can get hot and let's just say get to Omaha?
Get to a super regional. Yeah, I definitely do. And I definitely don't think it's Vanderbilt, just with they can't win on the road. They really can't win on the road. And I mean, even though they have incredibly good starting pitching at home, they can't win on the road. And it's in the SEC, it's ridiculous. I don't know. It's wild to see how good they are, much better they are at home than they are on the road. But to make a super regional, I'd have to say Florida. I could see it still. I really could see it. I mean, I think they're definitely getting the Super 64 for sure. They have the second best strength of schedule. They have the RPI top 40 to get in, right? 11 quad one wins. I mean, 11-17 overall. But Florida has the bats all season. It's just the pitching and the struggle for them. And if maybe Kevin O'Sullivan, the experience he has and just a fantastic coach he has that he is, can kind of change things up around. They're playing on the road. You don't want to see Florida as a 3 seed in your regional. I mean, you're going to be like looking like, what did we do to earn this committee? You know, I think Florida could do it. I mean, it has to be the right regional and it has to be like the right like kind of host, I think. But I could definitely see Florida doing it.
And now, tomorrow,
am I betting on it? No.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I know, just like for fun, for conversation, I was going to say that tomorrow is going to be massive for Florida because I'm looking for the score. I cannot find it. I'm assuming Florida
from
won.
Today?
Yeah.
Florida won 7-4 today. Yep.
They did win. Okay, 7-4.
They put up 3 runs in the 10th.
By the way, side note, speaking of SEC baseball, Garrett Gainey starting against the Tennessee Volunteers tonight.
Getting another start, yeah.
Yeah, just saw that on the timeline. Tomorrow's huge though. Jack Caglione is on the bump. I was gonna say though, Harrison, if I'm Sully, I'm starting Cag game one of the postseason. Like
against a one seed?
I'm starting Jack Caglione in I'm throwing my very best in game one. And is Jack Caglione not their best?
Yeah.
From what I've seen, I think he is. So I get the whole like resting him thing. Bro, do or die. You're 0-0, throw your best. I would throw my best personally. I just, I don't know that he'll do that, but that's what I would do. So I know you have differing opinions because of, you know,
I think postseason is different, though. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean,
because there's no tomorrow. You have to play like there's no tomorrow.
You can't save both. Yeah.
No. I mean, Cags is either starting game one or game two. I mean, because
the thing with him is just the walks.
Yeah.
That's the thing that kills him. I mean, and when I say kills him, I mean, it just holds him back from being one of the best pitchers in the SEC.
I don't know. I would go Cags in that first game.
That's, I mean, he's got 39 strikeouts and 31 walks. It's like,
yeah, it's tough.
God, it's tough.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I would assume at the next level he's a hitter. But
yeah, right team might let him throw it as long as he can, see what they can get, you know. But
I mean, if he can throw strikes, he's elite. I think if he can throw strikes, he's elite.
Because his changeup's really developed this year, and it's been incredible. And Kevin O'Sullivan said the same thing. It's probably the best thing he's done pitching wise this year, is really developed his changeup a lot.
Yeah. Haberson, before we get out of here, in closing, and again, guys, leave us your questions, your comments, everything. Longhorn Bear says Scottie Scheffler in the top three. All charges will be dropped, or Louisville will never host the PGA Major ever again. So to your point, yeah, not a great look for Louisville. I also read on the timeline too that Louisville is apparently like a really dangerous city. So, but yeah, Scottie Scheffler's the guy they need to arrest. They got him. You got your guy. No, it's tough look for the fine folks of Louisville. Final thing, Harrison, last and certainly not least, the EA Sports College Football 25 trailer and gameplay details came out today. The official reveal. I actually did a segment on this. We dropped the video on YouTube about 2 hours ago or so. Go check that out. But Harrison, what are your thoughts, man? I mean, dude, I'm so excited. I was sitting there fist pumping watching it when it came. I'm so fired up. Initial reactions to the trailer and just the info and the intel we got today on the game.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, just one of those things that you can't wait to play, especially those of us who are old enough to have played it before it was kind of put on pause after 2014, I believe.
Yeah. What was your first NCAA football that you played?
My first NCAA football.
Again, you're younger than me, so I'm just kind of curious what your first one was.
I remember Tebow on the cover. I remember playing that one. That was 2010. 2012?
I think that was 2009.
Or 2009?
Yeah, I think that was 2009.
Because
2008 had Jared Zabransky, the Boise State quarterback. And 2007, okay. I think 2007 had Desmond Howard.
It was a Southern Cal guy. No, 2006 had Desmond Howard.
Yeah. Oh, was it 2006 had Desmond Howard?
Yeah, so I want to say...
Okay.
I want to say maybe...
Mark Ingram was the 2010 cover. I know that.
Yep. I remember that one vaguely. And I know, was it Matt Leinart? It was 2004, I think. I think
Carson,
my first
I think,
one was
I think Carson,
07 or 08.
Okay. So what my first yours? One, my first one was, I think, 2003. It was Aaron Rodgers at Cal on the cover. So quite a while ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But dude, yeah. I mean, I grew up playing the game. I mean, it was always a staple where, dude, I'll never forget. When I was in middle school and going into high school, we had a tradition the last day of school where, you know, we'd get out at like 11:30, 12, whatever. And we'd go to Wild Wings and have like a celebratory lunch. School's over. We're out for the summer. And then we'd go over to one of our buddies' house and we'd play NCAA football. And
that's awesome,
dude. Dude, those are like core memories, bro. And those are core memories. And I cannot wait. As somebody who does so much content from it also, and I just recently I've been playing it a little bit more. I'm trying to like dust off the cobwebs to get ready for the new game. And last night, by the way, this is a total side note. I played a game with Ole Miss, played Bama with Ole Miss on All Americans. I'm not playing on rookie. Beat Bama 31-14. So, then an Ole Miss's offense is great because I'm playing with updated rosters. I'm playing with updated rosters.
Bro, with 24 offense, rosters?
Yes. Okay. Their offense is last season, nuts. Okay. Their offense is nuts. I mean, they've got, I'm sitting here throwing balls to Juice Wells and then Trey Harris, Caden Priestcorn, Jordan Watkins, I mean, Bentley and all these dudes. Crazy. Jackson Dart. Anyways, that's sort of a side note. I kind of got us off track here, though. But your takeaways, thoughts from the trailer?
Yeah, Chris, it's one of those things that you just kind of itching for. You know, we're so close. We got a date, July 19th, I believe it is. And the trailer is phenomenal. Just, I think the biggest thing that was really stuck out to me was just the camera angles, I think, of like plays and just the footwork, you know, the guy getting a toe tap on the sidelines, using a lot of different teams. I thought they repeated a couple of teams too much, interestingly. And, you know, like, I think Clemson was on there several times. A&M was on there. Just a couple. I mean, I remember they featured Wyoming on there, which I thought was kind of cool. Boston College on there two or three times as well. One, I mean, Welcome to the Jungle. Incredible song to have playing. I mean, that's what it feels like, you know? Just like having the game back, but also just playing in a huge stadium. It feels like you're welcome. You're coming to the jungle, you know, whether you're on the road or at home. It's just a great song they use for that. No Sandstorm for South Carolina. I thought that was a miss. And no Chief Osceola, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from FSU, throwing the spear down at 50-yard line. I think that would have, that was a huge miss. I think you got to have that in the cup, in the trailer. I was waiting for that to happen, and it never did.
Yeah, it was. You know what's interesting too? There's a lot of Ohio State fans that are pissed. I saw today that
the Michigan stiff arm. Yep,
Michigan stiff arm, and I don't know if you noticed this at the end of it. I guess Ohio State Syracuse is a trophy game. I didn't know that. That's something I learned today. But because in the end, Syracuse is holding up a trophy, and if you look like very small in the background, the scoreboard, it is Syracuse 52, and it's the Ohio State logo 42.
Well, the last shot, I know it's Michigan holding up a trophy. I don't know what rivalry it's from, though, but that doesn't surprise me. They ended on Michigan just with the national champions, you know. But I think the cover with the three cover athletes, Quinn Ewers, was it Donovan Edwards from Michigan?
Yeah, Donovan Edwards and Travis Hunter.
And Travis Hunter. The cover, the initial kind of tease cover they released that was going around of just everyone walking to the stadium. And Cole and I talked about last week here on TSU. And I love that, of just all the players packing into an undisclosed stadium. That with Welcome to the Jungle, it just feels perfect. You know, it feels like we're all walking into this together. We're all walking back to college football on the video game, you know, EA Sports. And just, I hope that's actually, you know, the cover stays, you know, not just the three cover athletes, you know, facing the new kind of.
So the group walking is the deluxe edition cover, which, okay. See, that's the only thing is that.
What's the difference in the deluxe edition though?
So, and that's the one that I bought, which is I paid like $30 more for it.
$100 you paid for that?
Yes, I paid $100. The biggest difference is you get 3-day early access. So, like, and so the normal edition that's $70, that's the only edition you can buy physically in the store. So if you go buy it physically in the store, it will have that cover on it with the three athletes. The deluxe edition and the MVP bundle with Madden, those are only digital available editions, which...
Oh, so it's not, bro, like no disc for the deluxe.
No disc for the deluxe. No, it's like, it's literally, it shows you, I went ahead and bought it and it says Game download will begin on July 15th. The game doesn't come out on the 19th. So it's going to download on the 15th and it'll be available for play on the 16th. So, you know,
deluxe edition. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think there's some other stuff you get to, like ultimate team stuff and some uniform something. But, like, I mean, the big reason you pay that is 3-day early access. I mean, that's why. You know what I mean? So, dude, I love it.
Is that worth their $30?
Yes. Yes. Bro, especially when you think about from my perspective, the content perspective, like, yeah, bro. Like, I will be going nuts if I'm sitting there for 3 days seeing everybody else streaming stuff, doing, and I'm just like, $30 was all it took. $30. Like, what, you know? I mean, bro, we've been waiting for 10 years. I'll pay $100. You know what I mean? Like,
I've seen people comment things about, you know, I don't care what it is. Take my money.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I would say in closing before we get out of here, yeah, the trailer was incredible. I loved the pageantry, the attention to detail, honoring traditions. Because I tell you, Harrison, like,
it's rooted in that.
Yeah, in this crazy NIL portal world where it's college football is feeling more and more and more and more like the NFL on a day in, day out basis. Those core things, they are the foundation of what makes college football what it is. And those are the things we have to continue to amplify, to honor, you know, no matter what happens with the free agency or players getting paid, like at the end of the day, we still have our traditions, we still have our mascots, we still have our entrances, we still have
uniforms,
our tailgates, our uniforms, like all that stuff. So I think that is like the biggest thing that is going to separate this game. It also separates college football in real life, but what's going to separate this game is all of those things. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be a football game. We're going to be playing football. I mean, I'm praying to God the engine's different. It's not a Madden reskin because Madden sucks. We just call it for what it is. But so I want the gameplay to be better. But what's going to make this game what it is the attention to detail and everything else. You know what I mean? Like Sandstorm, like Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech, Chief Osceola. Touching the win bar at LSU, you know, play like a champion at Notre Dame, like rubbing the rock in Clemson. Like all those things are what make it. It's going to make the game.
And the voices.
And the voices, yes, which is going to be really, really awesome. Thank God also they have Road to Glory, which I'm very excited about. That's the game mode that I could play that relentlessly. Also, they have Online Dynasty, which will be running an Online Dynasty with SEC Unfiltered. Y'all stay tuned to that.
That way Chris can get recruited and win a national championship. His dreams can come true.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Harrison, this is a lot of fun, man. Always
yes,
a pleasure
sir, always.
Chop it up with you. Again, if you like what Harrison and I did talking baseball, especially, again, we do it weekly, the windup. Typically drops on Mondays, sometimes early Tuesdays, but especially with the postseason coming up, guys, you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot from us specifically talking all things college baseball and, of course, SEC baseball. We'll be giving picks, predictions, breakdowns, analysis, you name it. And, again, Harrison will be boots on the ground in Hoover, Alabama next week covering everything. So it's going to be a really good time. Stick to SEC Unfiltered. Guys, again, we're right here every single day, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 4 Central on the Texas Sports Unfiltered platform. And check us out, obviously, YouTube, podcast, social media, our website. You already know the drill. Harrison, this is a lot of fun. For Harrison Fant, I'm Chris Phillips. Guys, appreciate you all tuning in. Thank you all so much. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you all on Monday.